Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
J Flo.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Hellraiser. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll get our first thoughts, then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go to TV Corner. We'll watch Disney Plus's Werewolf by Night.
Yeah.
Because I didn't watch anything else this week. Oh, no, that's not true. I watched Halloween's Ends, which you got to get on. Get on that.
Which I did not see that yet.
Well, it's really
not seen that yet.
It's really great about our show is that all the really like fun, spooky stuff's going to come out in November because of how we record. Yeah. So for the rest of the year, you're going to get all the cool horror stuff. But alrighty. John, what'd you think of
Paranormal Wactivity?
Wactivity.
That was a spoof series that does exist.
Oh, we should have watched it. It's our now official, you know, what is it? Like, since you've seen them all.
PA Spurts.
PA, sure. Is that PA what we're going with?
Yeah.
PA Spurts. Yeah, we're like.
Passports.
Experts. The Halloween series and Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity experts. The PA experts. The passports. If you want to take this flight with us, you better bring your passport. You're welcome. You, everyone has free use of that. I'm not going to copyright it. Use the joke to impress your friends. It's all good.
Your ladies. Your mom's, your dad's.
Just here to make you guys seem better.
All righty.
Priests.
Your priests.
Youth ministers. Just use it on everyone.
Cool. So, John, what did you think of Werewolf by Night?
I'm probably going to watch this movie several times. It was a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Like, very straightforward. They don't try to, like, set anything up too much. It just fucking happens. Like, I'm glad Man-Thing wasn't, like, a focal, like, oh, he's the bad guy. Nope. Man-Thing is essentially Groot.
Pretty much. Yeah, so I am... I think Marvel has completely figured out how to make every character bold. Every character likable, right? Because yeah. I was super into this movie. I was like, oh my God, this is like a real, you know, Halloween, you know, werewolf movie done in a traditional vein.
Yeah. To be fair, it is Gael Garcia, so it's going to be fucking awesome no matter what. Like, the guy rarely misses.
Yeah. Like, I thought they paid really good, homages to, like, previous horror movies, black and white horror movies, werewolf movies. They did a really excellent job, and they did a really good job, I thought, with the music and the, like, sound design was really well. Did you catch any of that?
Yeah.
It was really...
Yeah, everything was fucking brilliant.
Really
good. The design was fucking beautiful. Yeah.
All the designs were beautiful. And yeah, everything was really nice. Yeah.
The stylistic choice... Because it was a little confusing what time period it was, right? Until the end when everything's in color all of a sudden. It wasn't until I saw one of the tombs when they were locked up in that mausoleum. One of the tombs had a death date that said like 1989 or something. So I was like, oh shit, this is probably present day.
Yeah. Really fun, really interestingly done. Great emphasis on the action and the horror, especially being on Disney Plus, which tends to be a little bit, you know, family safe.
Tamer, yeah.
Tamer by good tamer stretch. Paula.
What did you think of what's your face's character? She didn't have any lines, but our witch antagonist from The Conjuring 3. Is it The Conjuring? Yeah. Remember, that was the only Conjuring movie we've reviewed. She played the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't.
So in this short, she was the lady that wore all white?
Yeah, yeah. She was one of the white clothed bounty hunters, right?
Which I'm assuming it's white. I don't know. Like, we see the end, and then, like, I wasn't expecting her jacket to be, like, bright red. So.
True, yeah. That was a little homage to Schindler's List. So.
Yeah. I mean, if they really want to do a real homage to Schindler's List, it would involve her, like, saying, like, oh, my job is done, and then she just, like, lowers herself into an outhouse full of poo.
Somebody whispers, "We're all, like, this is my hiding spot." Anyways, I don't remember the Conjuring movie we reviewed. So I don't remember who was bad in it. Yeah, I remember. I remember watching it, but I don't remember. Oh, there were the she was like the witch black. She was in black spelled lady. I don't think those are words.
Yeah, yeah. She played the cultist. Yeah, the devil cultist. Made me do it.
There you go. The devil made me do it. Yeah, 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 yeah. There you go. Yeah, she was okay. She didn't really, like, particularly stood out in any way.
I guess none of those guys did, really, which is why I thought it was cool that they weren't, like, officially killed by Gael's character.
Mm-hmm.
And it was what's her name instead?
Right. Elsa Bloodstone.
Yes.
I gotta say, like, I thought this was just gonna be like a fun, you know, romp action throwback kind of deal. But there's a lot of, like, about halfway through, they do like this, like, purposeful jokey bits with the man thing, and the tone of it is like became incredibly, like, safe, and I'm like, why does every Disney thing have to be this way? why does everybody have to be funny and charming and, like, get themselves over in a fun way? Why can't we just have, like, because good guys, bad guys? Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like this felt like any other things like Guardians of the Galaxy or, like, strange creatures.
I'm sorry. I don't remember Guardians of the Galaxy having a werewolf, but there is a plant creature in Guardians of the Galaxy. So you're right.
And a raccoon, a feral raccoon.
Yeah, you're right. So,
I don't know. It's just that part was, like, kind of a letdown, but it was still, like, a really fun, entertaining short, I guess, or whatever. It's TV special.
Yeah, I really loved it. Yeah, it's good.
I kind of felt like at times, like, you know, like on TV series, like in the 90s, like Family Matters or like Boy Meets World, they'd have one horror Halloween episode.
Forever Night.
And they would all, like, it would be some sort of, like, try to spooky tale or adaptation of something, like, kind of like a fun. This is what this felt like. I don't know. It felt like
that.
Did animated
series did that also, right, in the 90s? Except for The Simpsons. I don't think The Simpsons ever had, like, a horror or Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Hmm. Nothing pops up in my memory.
Let us
know in the comments down below if we're wrong.
But you know what I mean? Like
30 of them.
I felt like these guys were just playing characters that were part of another series. That's the sense I got. I mean, those are just the,
yeah,
the that's just the thought that crossed my mind. But,
which, I mean, there's probably something to that, because it's definitely setting up the, I forgot what they're called, but the horror faction of the X-Force or the Avengers or,
yeah, I don't know
what they're called, like led by Blade and
fucking Blade, yeah. Dude, that movie's never coming out, man. What? Just
that movie's never gonna happen. Sorry, Mahershala Ali. Yeah. Like, you're trying to make it happen, and it's going to be a flop, kind of like, unfortunately, Black Adam is probably going to be, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I have some friends that are actually work for DC mm-hmm. and WB, and they're like, yeah, it's bad, guy. I'm like, okay. It's not good. I'm like, that sucks that I'm still going to throw money at it and probably watch
it. I'm still going to watch it three times.
Yeah.
I said,
I'm just going to give this movie $100 the first weekend.
That was the most disappointing thing is like, we have to have, I guess it does have to skew younger. I wish it just would have kept more of its edge that it promised in the beginning. But it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
It worked. It's fine. It's a fun piece. I mean, I would easily watch it again.
Yeah, it's so good. Also because it's short. Maybe that's what really made it feel like a like that bottle horror episode too, because it's like only 48 minutes or something.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 52. My bad. I forgot there's credits.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good, but you didn't enjoy that thing at the end where Gael is sitting on that stump and Man Thing is like. Had made him coffee in a French press. I thought that was fucking cute. It was so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, things like pampering him.
I it's fine. I'm just like, I'm over the cuteness of the babyfication of Marvel. Shit. Yeah.
Groot was an asshole after he became a teen again.
Yeah.
Man Thing, on the other hand, is making little French press coffee for his brother.
Or not. Yeah, I just think that was a kind of like a throwaway to kind of like, look how fun these guys are. Remember them. We all had a great time, right? Bye, guys. We'll see you next show. It's just, yeah. I don't know, man. It's a little safe.
I would love like a series that involved, even if it was animated, that involved, what's his name? The hunter that died. That brought them all there just to see all the. Because the reality is, he's not doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably all a little too overzealous about it, sure. But, you know, you just sympathize with Gael because he's our lead.
Man,
so, of course, you don't want him to die. He's like, no, he's a good werewolf. But it's like, if you ever saw these things in the wild, you would fucking flip out, you know?
Right, yeah. And honestly, I don't know enough about these characters or lore to kind of dig into. Even Man-Thing, I know who Man-Thing is, but he's still kind of like a peripheral character, you know, in the books and everything. Every now and then they turn him out, but it's not like for any long period.
No, because he's super OP. There's nothing they can do to like he is like exactly like Swamp Thing. He is Planet Earth, but he really is Planet Earth. He's not like some human that became that.
Right.
Yeah. So he's like absurdly just powerful. So what are you supposed to do with this character?
Mm-hmm.
Just make him cute.
Yeah.
He's got a long elephant schlong nose, you know?
Fine. It's fine. It's all fine. That's all I gotta say. It's all good. So
you're
gonna
tell me you don't like his long green grass elephant schlong nose?
Yeah. His tentacles.
We can just call it a schlong nose. We don't have to call it like that long thing.
Alien tentacles like the Muppets.
Isn't his nose like one big like Squidward looking long one, right? Like
Yeah. not bad.
Which, by the way, everybody listening, if you have the chance, go on the effects people's Instagrams and stuff, because they've been like sharing the process of making a lot of these characters. mm-hmm. and the Man-Thing one looks fucking rad. It's like 99% practical.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Even like, not to go on a tangent, but I thoroughly enjoyed the She-Hulk series. Don't know how I feel about Daredevil being smiley and wisecracking and makes women come hard, but
yeah, which makes me think like this isn't well, especially with the last episode, there's a sense of a multiverse thing happening in this too, right?
Sure.
Since you're allowed to like just do whatever, apparently.
Yeah.
But it's got a very Deadpool 2 ending, right? What I didn't like about this show were like the middle two episodes, like the middle of the season, where I was like,
there were a couple stinkers. A couple of the B stories weren't very good. Yeah. There were some really like funny bits, but a lot of it was like, kind of like the guy who's immortal who has all his ex-wives, that was kind of pointless. Or when she tries to reconnect at Abomination's retreat or whatever, that was kind of dumb. It was cool to watch Porcupine or what's his name, Groundhog or what?
I think you're right.
I forget what the character's name is. He's incredibly funny in the books, so it's cool to see him. The way people have used him in the books have been really funny, and you know, it's cool to see him. But other than that,
he is Porcupine.
Porcupine, yeah. But yeah, there were a couple of stinker episodes that were just like, But thoroughly enjoyed the show overall. Really good show. Probably one of the best shows they've made. I thought I really liked this and Hawkeye. I thought both those shows were really fun.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's a bummer that a lot of people don't want to watch the Hawkeye series because they're like, isn't he like the most boring guy? He doesn't do anything. I'm like, if he was bad at aiming, there are several moments in this storyline that would have been royally fucked up. He's kind of important.
Two words, one name, Pizza Dog. That's all you got to know. That's the only reason why to watch this. There's an ongoing joke in that Hawkeye series everybody should that they're kind of adapting from, that there's Pizza Dog, which constantly gets shot and never dies. Like, he constantly gets like in situations in the book where he's gonna die but never does, and he's missing an eye and he constantly reappears everywhere. So it's really funny.
Pizza Dog,
yeah, and that's his name, Pizza Dog. So anyways, that was our review of Werewolf by Night. Do you have any other last thoughts?
We're reviewing a werewolf short, and last weekend we reviewed Morbius, the stinky vampire.
I'm really curious to see how that came out. we were really drunk. We were having technical issues constantly,
which made us get drunker.
So,
spoiler alert: the reviewers are right. The movie sucks.
Yeah, drunk or not, we believe the movie sucks. Okay. Alrighty, let's go move over to our main review. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny, 5 words. Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes.
For Hellraiser 2022, coming in at number 3, young person loses to addiction.
That's just a real one. That's essentially what the whole movie's about, and it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, but sexy.
Coming horny. In at number 2.
Horny goth kids. No, I'm just kidding. typo negative fan club. Just kidding.
Coming in at number 2, rich man needs more pricks.
Hey-o. Daddy does.
That is actually the entire movie right there. I just spoiled it for everybody.
It's power.
Coming in at number one, puzzle makers have sexy contest.
Well, hell yeah.
Hellraiser.
Hellraiser, yeah. All right, John. Wait, so you've seen the majority of the Hellraiser movies? That's what I've gathered from our previous conversations?
The majority of them. Not all of them.
You're not like a super fan or anything? I dropped off
when they obviously got super bad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm less familiar with the series.
I was stoked to watch this. Okay. I'm a Clive Barker fan.
Me too. I was super stoked to watch this because the director previous movie was The Night House, which, oh my God, that was like one of the best movies last year that we saw this year.
Right.
The beginning of this year.
And just a little side note about this director. What's his name? Anu?
No. I believe his name is David Bruckner.
David Bruckner. Yeah, I was like, I like literally just turned to look at my phone and saw a director. I was like, Anu? And the reason I did a question mark, I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm still looking at She-Hulk. I was like, that doesn't sound right at all. It came out of my mouth, though. So David Bruckner is, according to a friend of mine who had done something with him. I forgot what he said. They used to like play some sort of sport together or something. Not like professionally, just like recreationally. Is a super fan of the Hellraiser series.
Okay.
Like a hardcore fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it really did show.
This, I'll say this, without spoiling my review, this is definitely a Hellraiser movie. This is a Hellraiser movie. But yeah.
Along with like using the original score, like all of the original score songs, and just kind of manipulating them a little bit, but you know it's there and it feels like that nostalgia if you've seen the movie.
Right.
Because I'm not going to say Hellraiser is on like Superman's level, where every time you see a Superman movie and you can hear the original Superman theme.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, this like stylistically was really nice too. Like all these like blue and reds and stuff was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what'd you think of the film?
This is definitely a Hellraiser movie. I was super excited to watch this. One, because I feel like I've seen the first and second one, but when I was younger, and they kind of just like meshed together in my brain. So I couldn't tell you like heads or tails what any of those movies were. And the reputation of the series is that it kind of went on too long. It had kind of was embarrassingly went on too long to where it became B movie, C movie, trashy movie. And the series just kind of lost its way. After having, in the 80s, I believe, the first two being pretty decent, popular movies, and also the iconic Pinhead was something you saw, you know, in pop culture and everything. And
I remember all of them were like just embedded in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, just a little like let's go back to our humble roots in the Rio Grande Valley and going to not La Plaza Mall. What was the other one called?
We grew up in different parts of the valley, so I didn't.
Yeah, but we both went to like this part of McAllen to go to these two malls. Remember, like it's like everybody would travel to like La Plaza Mall, El Centro Mall,
El Centro,
the one that had it became a dollar theater, but it was like a regular theater during this.
Yeah, week. Yeah, yeah.
They used to have a store called the Gold Mine.
Okay,
I don't know if you remember it. It had a bunch of weird shit. It was basically like a Spencer's Gifts on steroids.
Okay.
And they had all the masks for like all the Xenobites. Like I wish I was like a fan and like rich enough to have like, I mean, I'm sure they weren't even that expensive, but like if I had just known and bought them all, you know?
Right.
So I remember seeing all these, like a couple of the Cenobites make an appearance in here that come from the original one. So, I mean, Pinhead, but they go by the priest, right, in this? The priestess, right. The priest? Mm-hmm.
The priest.
And then Chatterbox the Cenobite without a face, but just like the teeth showing, going like this, is an original. The dude who's like really puffy and like, I'm assuming he's supposed to represent gluttony, with the small black sunglasses,
mm-hmm.
Makes an appearance again. And then the other ones are just kind of inspired by the original ones.
You're talking about the designs and creatures, the Cenobites in this one.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Cause all those things, I remember, like, I know exactly what they look like.
Right.
I would go over to this place all the time and see them.
That's cool. No, I don't think I had anything like that. Where they sold masks like that. I think the closest we got were like, you know, I'd get it. Did have, like a music store or something, you know, like, is it Music Land? Is it called Music Land or something like that? And they would have like, you know, sell CDs, and they would have shirts of all like different horror movies and stuff. Mm. Posters, tons of movie posters.
Like Sam Goody used to do that too.
Sam,
right?
Goody's, so. Yeah.
What was the other one? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was kind of like just whatever.
Just dating ourselves now.
Yeah, I don't. And well, they'd have, what was cool about these stores, let me take a trip back for you guys, is they would stick all the CDs and tapes and shit in the front, but they would have all the cool stuff, in my opinion, in the back, where they'd have posters, yeah. Pins, you know, movies, you know, all kinds of like paraphernalia you can think of that were like horror-ish inspired. So
they didn't want the store to get canceled by Jesus, because our little humble area of Texas is run by Jesus and his followers.
They used to have those like posters where they'd have like,
I guess, I'm just saying,
bands, you know, they'd have like Led Zeppelin, Nirvana, but every now and then they'd have like a Playboy with the girl and her nipples are out, and like, so all these things, and they would have them in like a, I don't know, like a roll thing where you like, you just like, I don't even know how to describe it. They're almost like, well, how would you describe it? You know what I'm talking about? Like, kind of like they would be displayed, and then they would be like 10 of them, and then you'd open it, they'd see one, and then you'd open the next one. You kind of, but they were like pinned up already in plastic. And then you'd,
It's like a huge Rolodex that's like,
exactly,
on a post, right? And you like flop them open.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know how else to explain it other than like, if you go to like a rug store, sometimes they have that.
there's no modern equivalent to this anymore. Nobody does this anymore.
Yeah.
But it was super fun because you never know when it was going to pop up, right? Like they just, whoever, you know, pot smelling kid decided to put up, they would have on display there. So they'd have like movies and, you know, like albums and stuff like that. It was really cool. It was cool just to see them. And then, you know, I think they even had like a number of them, almost like IKEA, where they'd have like a letter and a number, true. And then you'd have to find it, all the posters they'd have there.
Which they would have rolled up in a box in the bottom, right?
Or yeah, like, they'd, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they'd rolled up on the box at the bottom. Yeah. This doesn't exist anymore, huh? That's so sad.
I don't think so.
This was awesome.
But it's also, I'm also assuming like our listeners are at a certain age, because I just realized they use the word Rolodex, and it's like, I don't think I've seen a Rolodex in person. And
yeah, you say that, but I just let it slide because you did a good job still describing it. So I was just like, okay, You described it way better than I did. So,
Another tidbit that's going to date us is, I read the original Clive Barker novella.
Okay.
He wrote before he made Hellraiser.
Wow.
It's only like 170 pages long.
Hmm.
Hellbound
Heart. Right? Is that it?
Yes.
Hellbound Heart. Yeah.
I thought there was like the word perverse in there somewhere, but I don't know.
it's just, yeah.
Because it's like a very, it's gruesome, but it's also like real sexy. Like it's a lot more perverted in the book than in the movies. But I read it because I had a couple of hours to kill in, I think, like San Antonio one time. And I went to a Borders to read
it. Oh, yeah. still dating herself. Nobody knows what we're talking about. Suncoast Company. What is it?
Suncoast, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, look, man. At this.
Yeah, back in the day where you'd go and I forgot who I was talking to, and they're like, oh, yeah, that place used to be able to go around and you could put on the headphones and pick a CD to listen to, like, one or two tracks. I'm like, yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still really happy they have at like Target, they have like the games you could still kind of play.
Oh yeah.
That's how I remember doing it. Like I used to either like, that was a common area I'd like to hang out, 'cause it's like, you could play the games, you could watch people play the games and stuff like that. And it was just like demos. It wasn't like nothing.
Yeah.
They weren't playing the game or anything.
Also, you're playing game systems that you could never afford.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, which is all lucky, because some of these game systems that were badass only lasted like a year because nobody wanted to buy them. It was like the Neo Geo and like the Sega Saturn, which was like criminally underrated.
Mm.
And then
expensive. They were expensive. They were expensive consoles. That was the other. But like comparable to the bigger ones like Nintendo and.
Yeah. Oh, the Dreamcast. So the Dreamcast, if you like. Or was it the Saturn? Well, so if you coughed up the money for the Dreamcast, it paid out for you, because once you were able to like burn and download stuff onto like a CDR or like whatever, you could pop that into your Dreamcast and play a game. So you basically had free range of free games.
Yeah, it was like the first like modern console, because you can like connect to the internet. It's the first console to ever do that. Yeah. And
now you can't play any fucking games without connecting to the internet.
Yeah, like you have to be connected to the internet to play games. Yeah. It's like, what the hell is
pretty
this?
Pretty lame, actually.
It is super lame. Here, now download a 20 gigabyte file you need to play. It's like, I just bought this game. Jeez. All right. So that's our review of Hellraiser. Yeah. So, well, anyways, yeah, they got off track there. But yeah, I was like pumped. I was excited. I'm like, I can't wait to fall in love with this year. I heard he was like, people were complaining because he was super violent and super horny. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to watch this. This is going to be so great.
And it's like real tame compared to the original.
But I was ready to like fall in love with this series. And I'll just say it's a Hellraiser movie. That's what it is. It's okay. It's okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's I've seen okay. It
because we got what dude who runs the cult and the boys collects. You know what I'm talking about? He's a guy that convinces the deep to join his cult. That guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is a rich guy that is a collector of occultist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he like lures some, I guess he's a gigolo. I'm not sure what the guy's, they don't really explicitly say what this guy is doing, but I'm assuming he was a gigolo. This like young, handsome guy that kind of looks like Jacob Elordi a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
Like solves the puzzle in front of him, gets killed, and then that's basically it. I mean, you don't see him get killed, but then it goes to Hellraiser and you get the classic music with like a little bit of pizzazz. And then it cuts to a sex scene where discount Alia Shawkat is getting railed by some dude. And the dude says, I love you, while smacking that behind.
Okay.
I was trying to talk like a Hellraiser movie, okay? while doing Satan's deed. And then... she gets weird about it. That's where you get introduced to the rest of the cast, which lasts like 2 seconds in the movie. And I could have swore that was Justice Smith. I don't know. maybe I've just got.
Nope. Yeah. That's a good call. Yep.
Yeah. I like swore. I was like, oh, he looks different. Nope.
I kind of felt like this movie. I really like the kind of like, setup of the story, and I really liked the Riley character, our main protagonist, the discount Alia Shawkat. You described her.
Yeah. She's good. Like, yeah.
I really liked her. I've never seen her in anything. I really liked her. I thought that she played kind of like very flawed, had a lot of problems, and make dating somebody questionable, and they make questionable decisions, which leads her to the cube, right? And
which is
box.
Also, she is an addict, and she's trying to get help, and her brother is trying to help her out.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't pay rent. Very privileged life, but
But I thought that I really liked the setup of this and the characters. I liked everybody right away. But once we figure out what this plot is, it's just an execution of what is to come. Meaning, like, we have to feed the box so you can have an audience with their god. And I'm like, okay. And so that's basically what the whole plot is. So she needs, what, like 6-7 people or something? Each to be sacrificed their blood, and then they get an obvious god. So obviously I knew instinctively, like, oh, we're just going to get to 6 people, and then we're going to get to whatever the conclusion of this is. And obviously she has stakes in it because her brother dies very early on in the movie. And I'm like, but there really wasn't anything else to, like, pull me in. I thought, I just, 2 things I'm going to mention quickly about, Pinhead or whatever, the priest in this character. Being a kid, seeing the Pinhead character is like this striking figure, and it has like this amazing aura to it, you know, has like this amazing visual look to it. And it has like this, it's just something once you see it, you'll never forget it, right? Like, it is just amazing design. So, I was super excited for Jamie Clayton to step into this role. Excellent actress. And she, I was really excited to see what they do with it. I found her character to be very, in the parts that she's in, she's good, but very subdued. She's very, like, minimized in a way, to a greater sense, that I feel like the other Pinhead movies try to take more advantage of the excellent actor who did that performance.
Doug Bradley,
yeah. And I thought that hers was very, like, minimized and less creepy, I guess, less iconic in a way, but similarly designed. It looked very kind of, I got like a Prometheus vibe to it. I was slightly disappointed. Yeah. But I liked her performance. I liked her and everything she did. Once we saw more, because she's not in this movie for like the first hour, you know, we see glimpses of her, and then we finally meet her, and then she kind of becomes more integral to the plot. I enjoyed those parts. And as we dealt more with the creatures, the Cenobites and everything, like, that's when the movie was like much more interesting. I just thought the story was lacking.
You mentioned that you hadn't seen the original in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how the original one is too. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't, the Cenobites aren't the bad guys really. Like, mm-hmm. just like this movie, they're not really the bad guys. And they don't really pop out. And Doug Jones. You just assume it's Doug Jones.
Doug Jones is everything.
Doug Bradley.
Yeah.
pops out and, because our main antagonist is some dude that's like building his body back up from goop because he escapes from that hell that they put him in.
Yeah.
Which essentially, like, this rich guy, the guy from The Boys, is supposed to be the same kind of character, but it's not executed the same way. So it's a little bit not as interesting. That part, I will admit, yes, is not as interesting. Because, the original one dealt more with, like, that guy kept coming back and he was just murdering people left and right. Like, he murders more people than the Cenobites.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And this
I totally get that, like, maybe it's my lack of familiarity with the original to kind of sense that.
Yeah, but at that point, it shouldn't matter, right? Like, it should just be interesting.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I think, like, their base story, which should have been like this rich guy is the main antagonist, wasn't that great. Even though he orchestrated everything, you know?
Yeah, we can get the spoilers more about him. And as far as first thoughts, I was underwhelmed with it. A lot of that came from the story, because this story is laid out and tells you exactly how it's going to play out about 20-30 minutes in, and then they execute it as such, which was I was kind of hoping there'd be like more twists and turns and more, you know, more going on for it than what was here.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that, because there are so many twists and turns and bop its and pulls its on that puzzle.
Yeah. Did you have any?
That's my impression of the puzzle, by the way. It's like, bop it, yeah. Twist it.
Do you have any other first thoughts before going to spoilers?
The design of the house, which I guess is supposed to replicate the box, right? Mm-hmm. Were you getting 13 Ghost vibes?
100% getting 13 Ghost. They trapped Cenobites 13 Ghost style.
Yeah.
To unlock the key for God to enter our room or some shit, right? Like, what the fuck is this? And we only knew this because we just recently reviewed it. And we got this movie fresh in our head.
Yep.
It was very 13 Ghost vibes. Sure. Maybe they'll be at Halloween Horror Nights going forward, just like those 13 Ghosts.
Yeah, and going back to the design real quick. Yeah, I do think it's interesting that they made her version of Pinhead with like pincushion needles, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what they're supposed to be? And Pinhead, they're nails, right?
They're more, I mean, it's kind of the same, more or less.
So I'm saying, like, it does, you're right, it does kind of soften her version up.
A bit, right?
You know, like the Pinhead with all, like, in Doug Bradley with all the nails in his head is so hardcore. I mean, the movie came out in, what, 80-something, right? 87. Is so hardcore of that time in, like, the industrial rock revolution, like...
Mm-hmm.
Very Nine Inch Nails, typo negative.
Goth. You know? Yeah. Scene. Vibe. S&M.
Yeah, and I guess like this updated version is very representative of the goths of this time.
They're not hardcore.
Soft suckers. No, just kidding.
Back in my day,
we used to drive nails in our face.
And we liked that it.
Pin cushion needles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool, dude.
Yeah. Alrighty. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So one of my major spoilers to bring up right away is cool concept. They tried something new where they're able to actually kill the Cenobites.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck you for killing Chatterbox. That was my favorite Cenobite.
Yeah.
Yeah, an array of other Cenobites to kill.
Yeah.
But no. My favorite one, and you fucking killed him.
Honestly, I'm reading some of the names. I could not tell you the difference between the Reaper, the Gasp, and the Sphinx. I mean, some of these were innocuous. I believe the Gasp had the most. She was the one who like had her back open and spoke a lot outside of the side of the priest.
Selena Lowe, right?
Right, yeah. I loved the designs of them, but I couldn't tell you the difference when they were, you know, doing that thing where they were fulfilling the blood oath ritual thing. Not, you know, as scary or terrifying or as easily identifiable as
Yeah,
his past.
So that's what I think. I mean, what really softens up all these appearances too is, at least in the original first couple, anytime there was like exposed muscle or whatever on these Cenobites, they were like gooped up to make them look all gory and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, like even like the chatter, like there was like shit, like all in the gum line and shit like that. And
right.
They were just so much more scary. These weren't that scary. I mean, obviously if I saw this in person, I would fucking lose my shit, but I'm not, if I'm watching it on a TV screen, I'm like, eh.
Yeah. These are not like, I mean, a real thing, cool. And you hate puzzles. So yeah. This would never happen to you.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah. I think that was like, some expectations maybe were a little high, I think, for me. But I did like the end. I enjoyed the end. I love that we find out that Vought was tricked. He is still alive. And he was able to finish the six sacrifices, and he got his reward. He chose
Shit. His name is Vought.
Yeah, just like the
and
boys.
And the boys,
yeah.
He works for Vought. No, sort of.
He chooses what? He chooses sensation, right? Or sensual, something like that. And they put a fucking metal thing in his chest where he can't feel anything. So I like that they kind of, these quote-unquote gifts that the Cenobites give him are kind of like, they're not really gifts. They're kind of like, they're like a monkey paw situation, right? They're kind of give you one thing, but it's actually the opposite.
I think like, cause according to the Cenobites, these are gifts because it's like, yeah, dude, you're going to feel this for the rest of your life. Mm. Like that's what they're thinking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But for like the average human, it's like, no, dude.
Yeah. And that plays, cause the whole, our main character here, Riley, is motivated because her brother ends up being her first on her sort of continuous blood sacrifices or whatever. And so she thinks that, well, I want to bring my brother back, resurrection, Lazarus or whatever, right? She wants to bring her brother back. So she continues to accidentally, not accidentally, sacrifice five people or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
which, I mean, they're playing a little fast and loose with some of the rules too.
I thought so as well, yeah.
Like, for one, I thought maybe they were going to bring him back and he would be kind of like the Frank, the antagonist of the original Hellraiser type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're going to have to keep feeding him more flesh and it just never ends. But then, yeah, I guess that was decided against. But then the whole, like, what's that actor's name? The guy that I said looked like Justice Smith but is, like, clearly older, I think?
Adam
Faison.
Faison, yeah.
Faison?
Faison.
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 He gets pricked by Vought, right? Or somebody?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like stabbed in the back with the needle? Or like, no, oh, it was Vought. Yeah, he like starts at the like the nape of his neck or whatever and like drags the thing down. Mm-hmm. And then Discount Alia was like, this wasn't my choice. He said it was my choice to do these things. And they're like, oh yeah, you're right. I'm like, what the fuck? No, dude.
Yeah.
You're fucking sex demons. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed the resolution of this where she's given the choice. She ends up completing her sex or whatever. And she's given the choice by the priest, you know, what would she like? And she ends up choosing no gifts because she doesn't want to be. She sees that we're probably going to pull some like shit on her, right? They're going to do something like he's going to, like the boyfriend, like her brother would come back with like, I don't know, no dick or something or half a hand. He would be back, right? It'd be like some weird version of him.
That was actually one of the choices too, I think. It was like on that list of things, it was considered one of the things.
Right. What do you mean? Like in terms of
to not choose a gift.
Remember, okay. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like,
Yeah, it was considered one of those thingies. Those paths, I guess you could choose.
I like that the priest basically tells her that, well, okay, well, you choose nothing, therefore your life will be, you would have to live with all your regret and all of the bad choices and things you've decided. And that is
basically murdered. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very, a great way of describing a human way of living through life, right? Like a nice little
analogy. That's why I'm saying, she loses her battle with addiction, mm-hmm. but then like, I think the idea of coming to terms with it and is living with that
mm-hmm.
is like the best case scenario.
She chooses to be human in that case, right? Which is like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Aside from that, I was a little underwhelmed.
She's for sure going to go back to drugs and alcohol, though, right? Like, I don't see a way around that anymore.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think they're making a sequel, I believe. But it definitely, if this franchise is done by somebody, let's just be real. If this movie was produced by money people and they didn't give a shit, they just wanted to produce something violent and, you know, tons of nudity and sex, this could easily, I could see where this franchise could just like fall off a cliff because like the things that it's, they could forget all the substance of this movie and somebody with money and just wants to produce something can just forget all the substance of this and then just like make trash, which is what I could see easily how this, it's fun to see how easily this franchise became what it was because of the shit that the concept of it is so easily can be taken wrong, I guess, that it's nice to have somebody who cares about this and wants to execute it and create something more meaningful, more artistic with this stuff. So hopefully the sequel will also do that.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully we get more Cenobites. And the biggest twist of the entire movie is they decide that Vought, they were wrong about him. So they give him the ultimate gift and he becomes the new Cenobite to replace Chatterbox.
Yeah. So that's what that was. I had to figure that out. They did have some like almost. Oh, so that's why they go into them being human, that they all were human at one point, right?
Yeah, like at some point, and then they were just given the ultimate gift.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which is like the new Cenobite, and you have all this ability to inflict sexy pain on people.
Yeah. okay, cool. Did you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, just one. Yeah, I think the one major difference between this and the original franchise is there's not the whole sexual part of it is not as abrasively in your face. You know, it's not like in the original one, it's like very in your face about the whole like, oh, we could torture the shit out of you. Like,
yeah, it's toned down the sexuality maybe a bit, or
yeah, a little bit, yeah, because I don't know, I felt like the other one was like yeah, we'll be like hanging you from hooks and ripping your flesh piece by piece, you're gonna come so hard, trust me bro.
You're gonna love it. So okay, cool. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Hellraiser 2022 7 sexy, spooky bones.
Cool. Cool. I thought you'd be a little higher on it, but seven is where you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I am going to give it 6 sexy spooky bones.
Not bad. I thought you were going to be lower.
I liked it. Look, I guess my expectations were high, right? But there are things I did like about it. But I'm not in love with this franchise. Like, I don't want to go back and rewatch all the Hellraisers, even though it's on record that we will watch them all at some point. That we have somewhere we said that on a show that we're going to watch all of these movies. And now I'm trying to creatively find backtrack on that. But it wasn't bad. The expectations were a little high, I think.
Yeah, probably. Oh, I will say I'm happy that at least they gave the priest that one classic Pinhead line, the what sights we have to show you or something like that. I can't believe I'm fucking blanking on it.
That's yeah.
That was pretty fucking cool. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though we don't get like somebody getting ripped apart and saying Jesus wept, which was like classic, like everybody was like, oh, this is a devil movie.
They put that face on a shirt, which is terrifying. Says that.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Describes the 90s.
Which, for the longest time, I used to think, before I saw both movies, I used to think that that and Ichi the Killer were the same movie.
Oh, yeah. What you mean? Ichi, yeah, I can see why.
Another gory movie, yeah.
I can see why you would think that. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Okay.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...